Welcome, welcome, everybody. Podcast people, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, all extraterrestrial people. Man, NBA Finals has completed, and we're kind of late on this. It's my fault. I fucked up yesterday. But how y'all doing? Lo, do this again, bro. I didn't even introduce the podcast. I am a horrible host. How y'all doing, man? Yeah, welcome back to
I'm not cutting that out.
If you don't cut that out, podcast, otherwise known as the LeBron Making Too Many Excuses podcast, man. We got a lot to talk about today, man. Super, super excited. I kind of delayed the podcast till today. I don't know what happened. We need to stop delaying it, Lo. We need to just keep coming out with straight fire. Shout out to everyone supporting, dropping them 5 stars on iTunes. Lo is a lazy guy, right? So I finally reached out, and we're trying to get the podcast on Spotify because that would be wavy as well. Lo, introduce yourself, man.
Yo, what up, podcast people? One and only legend of winning, a.k.a. Lo. What a face, us. Yo, technically speaking, this won't be late. It's just that we didn't put one up. We didn't do a podcast in the middle of the week because it was obviously in the middle of the finals. However, after this podcast, we're recording this at like 9:30 at night. So, I mean, I'm probably going to upload this on Sunday, and we'll be back on schedule every Sunday. And then obviously the middle of the week podcast. But yeah, man, NBA Finals just ended, and I'm not really, you know, it really wasn't all that.
So let's talk, man. So on our last podcast, we talked about game 1 and 2. Since then, 3 and 4 happened. It's the first sweep in a decade we've seen in the NBA Finals. Honestly, this is the first time I even remember a sweep. I don't know why, because when they brought it up in the broadcast, I'm like, what? There was sweeps in 2007? I just
made... Yeah, LeBron. LeBron was... That was the... Yeah. When he was on the Cavs in 2007, he got swept.
Yeah. So, there's a lot to unpack, and we'll start with just overall thoughts, then we'll dive deep below. The Warriors swept, and you called a sweep. I thought at least the Cavs would take one, but what's on your mind, man? Wait.
What?
I almost had to sneeze. Go ahead.
Wow. The fact that you interrupted me because of that. Yeah, I call it a sweep just because after game one, it just felt like there was no way that the Cavs were going to be able to come back and get a game and be energized enough to feel as if they were going to win a game after they were so close to winning it and dropping the ball. And game four really kind of wrapped up how the series was inevitably going to be ended with. I mean, I didn't see that much energy from the Cavs. The first quarter, they had some energy, but it was really spotty. The second quarter was kind of spotty as well. But after the third quarter, it was very clear that the Cavs were kind of done, and there was no more fight in the Cavaliers. Because it was just inevitable.
So talk to me about that, because a lot of people, I saw Stephen A doing this, and he's not the only one, that criticized LeBron and maybe even the rest of the team for quitting. We'll talk about the injury and all of that stuff, but we need to keep fire extinguishers and whiteboards, blackboards away from these athletes, bro. I'm tired of them punching things out of anger. It gets emotional. But when you put into context Russell Westbrook slapping the fuck out of a fan's phone because he was sticking it in his face, to just a self-inflicted what seems like injury to LeBron's hand. We'll get into that a little bit later. But it just seems like the Golden State Warriors have accomplished to the Cavaliers what the Cavaliers accomplished to the Raptors. And that's being able to demoralize the team. So let's just put it like this. I'm not a sports psychologist.
Your team is so trash. The fact that you even brought them up. But go ahead.
No. Someone replied to me on Twitter. He's like, hey, stop talking about the Raptors so much. But, I mean, it's relevant. They play against the Cavaliers. So what I'm trying to say is this. Lo, the Raptors are used to getting beaten down by the Cavaliers. So it's almost a given that when they play the Cavaliers, regardless of how much improvements they've made or whatever, the core is still the same. And they go up against the Cavaliers with this inferiority complex. They don't actually believe they're going to win. I think Golden State has just now accomplished that same thing against the Cavaliers. We can establish that the 3-1 comeback was the complete outlier. And you could even make arguments and excuses as to why Draymond didn't play in Game 5. Whatever the case, that stuff is irrelevant right now. LeBron looked like he knew he wasn't going to win going into Game 4. You can even argue he felt that way going into Game 3. But the way I saw them play defensively is what worried me, because it was like Nobody was willing to close out. There was times where LeBron was just letting Stephen Curry sprint back to the three-point line, even though we know, and we're not even scouting, Lo, we're just fans. We know when Stephen Curry passes the ball, or even off of inbounds, he's coming off screens and sprinting to that three-point line. So when he's having a good game, it just doesn't make sense. It just felt like there was a massive lack of effort. And I don't care if you get swept. I don't even care if you get beat. You have to try till the end, Lo. And I saw them quit well before that, and I thought that was pathetic. I thought that in that moment that Adam Silver should click the shit from Men in Black, go back in time, remove conferences, so us as the fans could get the finals we deserve, and that's the Houston versus Golden State. It was actually an entertaining series, 1-7, Golden State pulled it out in the final two quarters. What we saw in the NBA Finals was a disgrace. If people are going to make arguments and excuses as to the refs and it's so biased and rigged because they just want the Cavaliers and the Warriors in there every single year because they have the biggest players, that doesn't make any sense. They don't want sweeps. They don't want it to be boring. They want it to be entertaining and interesting. No such thing as rigged. It's impossible to rig a live sports league. So many idiots actually believe that shit, Lo. It's crazy. Like, you'd think that people are just playing around, memeing. Oh, I just saw it live. It's rigged. Sorry. You know that Aisha Curry meme? But unbelievable. I feel like I was cheated out of an interesting NBA Finals. And after game one, I was tricked into believing that I was actually going to get an interesting NBA Finals. And here we are after game four, looking at Nick Young talk about all his celebration shenanigans in the locker room. Happy JaVale McGee got a ring, of course. The two right there. But, Lo, what's your thoughts on that, man? Did LeBron quit on the team? I know you had to have seen. There was countless plays that was outlined on Twitter, but even more than that.
I don't want to say quit on the team because that's a bit of a stretch. I just felt like, again, like, and I said this in the beginning of, you know, when, or not, maybe not the beginning of the second game, but I definitely felt like at the end of the first game, the way that they lost and the way that everything was setting up, after you lose a game like that, that, like, there's just no way that you're going to.
But there is a way. Because we've seen the Iversons and the Kobe's do it. There is a way.
There's not a way when you're down, when you're that much of an underdog and you're able to steal a game like that and you still end up like you're still massive underdogs. There's no way that you're gonna try to come back and believe that you're gonna win, especially by the time game four rolls around and you're like in a massive deficit.
I think that's you thinking as a fan, bro. Because if for any people who've been athletes in any sport, I don't care how bad your team might be to the outside world. When you're on that team, you believe you can accomplish anything on that team.
Look, alone. I understand what you're saying, but I vividly remember and I watched Kobe not give a damn about what happened in that Phoenix Suns series in game 7. I vividly remember that.
Could you go into detail, good sir?
When they were up, when the what was the team? The Lakers are up 3-1 against the Phoenix Suns. I think this is the first round in 2007. And they would go on to lose the next three games to the Suns. And in game 7, when people just thought that Kobe was going to go off, he didn't go off. He was extremely passive and he was nonchalant. And many people would claim that the reason why Kobe was playing like that is because how many people in the media was criticizing him about, you know, his style of play and how it was actually hurting them when Kobe felt like his style of play was the only reason why that they were winning or they were in a situation to win. Mm-hmm. And so Kobe was just like, fine, if y'all want me to pass, I'm just going to pass. And he was being very passive aggressive in that situation. But regardless of however he felt, it just got to the point where it kind of just overwhelmed Kobe and was like, man, we're about to just, you know, we're about to lose a series, despite the fact that we were so close to actually winning the series. And so, and I'm not necessarily saying that I'm not giving LeBron a pass. Let me be extremely clear here. I'm just trying to provide context here. I just don't feel like there was ever a point in that series where I felt like they had a chance to win. And once they blew game one, I definitely, just as a person, I knew for a fact that they were not going to give a damn about that series after that because it was just no way that they were going to win.
And it's not just LeBron, I don't think. I think more than anything, it was the rest of the team first giving up. We saw Rodney Hood show out, but honestly, he really was just doing it for the contract. We saw players like Lo, I've never seen a player fooled like Kyle Korver, man. And I'm going to just say it. That guy was playing like a straight-up bum. just missing all his shots, was making the wrong passes. Like, it's crazy because literally in the Celtics series, the Raptors series, who they play in the first round, Pacers series, we were seeing him come off ball screens, contested in people's eye, knocking shit down and ones. And we're just like, this is the Kyle Korver we know, one of the best shooters in the NBA. And to see him just fold in the finals, in what was probably the most pathetic display of all of LeBron's teammates, came from Kyle Korver. And I mean, shout out to Kevin Love, because I think he stepped up throughout it. He was doing a good job of just playing his game. And he definitely wasn't doing that in the first series versus the Pacers. For him to pick that up, and I don't know what LeBron told him in the locker room. I don't know what the case is, but if I'm LeBron, I'm frustrated, because now it's going to look bad for him and his legacy. But two, you can begin to make the argument, and I'll make the transition low. The second excuse I heard a lot on Twitter, and probably the most popular excuse, is LeBron's teammates are trash. And we kept hearing it. Low, I'm going to read out a quote that someone got from Greg Pop. It was just a few years ago. But I want to hear your thoughts about this. And it's pretty relevant to the LeBron James not having any teammates type stuff. Right. Someone asked Pop, is there a part of you that said when they put the Warriors together, what's the point? Almost asking him like, yo, did you like you, no one's going to beat this team type. What's the point? Popovich replied, not at all. That's your job. What team wouldn't try to put together as good a group as they can? They did a good job. They figured it out and they get credit for it. It's nothing to do with, oh, that's unfair. Life's unfair. Get over it. Go playing. If you want to beat him, do your best to beat him. You do you or don't. And he kind of just went on in kind of just similar mindset that you don't really have. What are you going to do? Complain about it? You got to go out there and do your work. And I think that's what we saw from Houston. They put together all they could have. I think me and you could agree if they had Chris Paul, the outcome likely would have been different, especially in that second half. So, Lo, I want to ask, because we talked about this on the last podcast and I flip-flop positions saying like, nah, I really can't. I'm coming across on LeBron's side because his teammates were just doing a horrible job. LeBron loses the finals. How much of that responsibility lies on the teammates?
I mean, I'll say this to kind of give a broad statement before I go into specifics. And maybe it's just because we're in the internet age and people have the ability to go through the box scores and watch replay. And so it's just more understanding to what exactly is going on in the NBA and keeping record of players' performances. The only problem that I have when people can continue to, regardless if you want to make say this excuse or reasoning behind it, I just want people to be consistent with the way that they're criticizing LeBron's career the same way. And I want them to keep that same energy to everyone else. Just be consistent. If you're going through LeBron's career and you're picking apart games and outings when LeBron's teammates did not show up, which it happens, I don't want to hear those same people criticize other players throughout NBA history for not reaching a level of success, but they don't do their due diligence the same way they do their due diligence with LeBron. That is something that is so annoying and I hear way too often. Because if you're doing that for LeBron, you could literally go back in multiple players' careers, recognize when they've played either exceptionally well or met expectations while other teammates underperformed, and we still criticize them for their lack of success, but for whatever reason. And I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. All I'm saying is just keep the same energy and be consistent and do the same thing for other people. When it comes to LeBron and his teammates, I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm going to put so much blame on LeBron because of his teammates underperforming, because his lack of teammates and his lack of help is the reason why I didn't even think that they were ever going to make it out of the Eastern Conference. That was a huge reason why I didn't think that they were going to make it past the East. And so, to me, him not having competent help around him and consistent shooters, I mean, I knew that was going to be a problem from the beginning of the season, even when they traded the players, even when they traded all the players again, and even when they went to the playoffs. So that's to me, I'm not going to sit here and try to, you know, kill LeBron because his teammates didn't show up or kill LeBron. But I mean, there were moments in the playoffs and moments in the finals where I felt like he should have been more aggressive, where he should have been more active, where I feel like there's certain things that he could have done that I personally felt like I personally felt like he should have been able to take advantage of certain mismatches. And I could be wrong, and this is just me going, but I haven't really gone back yet and looked at the series again, and I really don't feel like doing it because I just
why, man? It was trash. You don't think it was entertaining?
Stop. But there was definitely moments where I felt like he was, I mean, he was being guarded by like Curry, and they got the switch, and they didn't take advantage of the switch
all the time. And I didn't
understand why that happened, because I just felt like the entire purpose of the entire possession was for Curry to get on LeBron. Then Curry's on LeBron, and LeBron doesn't take advantage of it. To be fair, I didn't understand.
They would throw doubles as soon as that switch happened.
And I understand what you're saying, but at some point you just have to be aggressive, especially if your teammates are not making their shots.
I disagree with but that.
If you're getting to the finals, I think he was doing a good job
of finding teammates, and then just can Kevin Love hit the corner three? He was. Can Kyle Korver hit the wing shot? He wasn't. He was just making the right play anytime they left someone open to double team LeBron. And LeBron, they were purposely going for that, right? They were trying to get the screen to get a mismatch. Warriors would see the mismatch, throw the double, and somebody would be open, and it would almost never be LeBron. Now, you can sometimes rely on him to just, like, bully his way through people. And there was plenty of times where I think he was just throwing his hand around like Michael Jordan. Should have been offensive foul, and he didn't get called for it. But, like, to a certain extent, man, he was getting called for that a lot in Game 4. Like, they weren't letting him by. Like, Sean Livingston was probably the only player on the Warriors, anytime LeBron would, like, throw his hand forward to shove him out the way, that would actually hold his ground. Every other Warrior player would kind of just flop back and hope they get the call. And it was working. And so you had a position where LeBron, if he tried to be aggressive, was getting called for fouls. But then when he kicked it to his teammates, there was times they weren't converting. So I wouldn't even put that on LeBron. But you're right. Very rarely would there be a switch in Curry's guarding LeBron, and they wouldn't send help. If in that situation LeBron wasn't taking advantage and being aggressive, then yeah, come on, man. That's like very obvious. Just take the guy. He's a lot smaller than you.
Yeah. So moments like that is where I was kind of frustrated. And that's the reason why I wanted to go back and rewatch some of the series and some of those possessions, because I wanted to see how the defense was guarding him when Curry was on him. I didn't necessarily know how the floor was being shrunk and how they were throwing different defensive assignments once Curry was on him. So I don't want to necessarily be outright and just say like he should have taken advantage without being thorough about it. But still, I just felt like if Curry's on you, that is what you wanted. And if you can't attack that, then what was the you have to find a different way to be successful. But I mean, again, I felt like for the most part, LeBron was still fine. There was never a moment where I felt like he was overwhelmingly disappointing outside of like the second half of Game 4, where again he didn't seem to come across that aggressive. With that being said, I can't necessarily say that it's his fault. But on the flip side of things, the role players, his supporting cast, whatever you want to call them, I never felt like from the beginning of the season until last night that they were ever going to be good enough to even get to this point in the finals. So I never even expected them to be good enough to aid him in any possibilities. So I never even raised my expectations to think that Kevin Love was going to be a consistent second option, or that Jordan Clarkson was coming off the bench and going to provide them constant minutes, or Tristan Thompson, like any of these players were going to be competent at any point of the entire series. So for me, it went exactly the plan, and it went exactly the plan because of the reasons that I thought was going to happen anyway. And that's just that the Cavs, and they weren't, it's not a good enough team to compete in the NBA Finals if your competition is the Golden State Warriors. It's just not.
All right. I want to get your thoughts on this. Dom2K put out a tweet. We're quoting
Dom2K now?
No, we're not quoting him. He quoted Kobe, and I thought it was interesting. This is what Kobe had to say about the narrative that LeBron has zero help on his team. It seems like he has some good talent to me. He's got Kyle Korver, who's a great shooter, Jarrett Smith, who's been a solid player. We focus on his one mistake that tends to overshadow all the things he's done to help the team win a championship before. You've gotten Kevin Love, who was an all-star and an Olympian. And I think this is the point, sorry if I just get away from the quote, where he was using the word was too much. But anyway, that's just one criticism. Rodney Hood, who was a 17-point scorer in the Western Conference. You got Tristan Thompson, who was back to playing like he played a few years ago. He went on to say he's got some workable pieces there. I don't understand how, in order to talk about how great LeBron is, we need to, they blanked out the word, but let's just put in a word here for sake. We need to shit on everybody else. That's not okay. Those guys have talent. I don't buy this whole thing that he's playing with a bunch of garbage. Now, that is how I perceive things the entire season up until the finals. How Rodney Hood was out there balling, one of the top scorers for the Jazz, and they were a playoff team in the Western Conference. He comes to play with LeBron, and now he's trash. How Kyle Korver is one of the greatest three-point shooters in NBA history. Now he comes to play on the Cavaliers, and now he's not performing as well. How is it that when Jordan Clarkson is one of the best guys for his value, he has a fantastic contract, now he comes on the Cavaliers, and he looks like a bucket. How is it that all these players are coming on this team with talent, and then it just seems like their talent dissipates? It disappears on sight. And that was my frustration, because it felt like LeBron at the core was at some way responsible for that. Or maybe if it's not LeBron, it's the way the team runs their offense and it's the coaches. And so it took until the finals for me to kind of get rid of that mindset, because there is so much evidence to prove that, like, this guy is doing, and he's passing, it's not even like he's hogging the ball, right? He's passing the ball and he's making the right play, and he's the biggest magnet in the NBA. And so if his teammates can't take advantage of the defensive breakdowns that LeBron causes just by being a magnet, by being who he is, and making open shots, just, you can't possibly put that on LeBron. I do agree, though.
I'm about to say, I still think that there's some validity to what Kobe's saying.
I agree there's validity to the point where he said, well, you go ahead. I want to see what you have to say.
I know. I think there's a validity to it, and it's a theory that I've had, and it's a theory that many people have had. And some people just don't want to say it because they feel like it may be, like, just attempting to tear down LeBron, and people obviously don't want to be accused of hating on LeBron, or some people probably don't care. But to me, and I've said this before, and I've said it while talking to other people, and I've said it, I feel like I've said it on Twitter as well, but I don't really know of anybody who's gotten better while playing with LeBron. And I think that is,
I disagree. I mean,
you can put the Kyrie, but I, as a whole, players do not get better while playing with LeBron. And I don't necessarily know if that's a LeBron thing, if that's a system thing, or it's a combination of both, but something happens when players play with LeBron, and I don't think he makes his teammates better. I think he gives them easier shots, but that doesn't necessarily mean they become better individual players.
Okay.
And my whole theory behind it is that when you construct an offense that is simply based off of LeBron creating everything for everybody on a team, regardless if it's a backdoor cut, regardless if it's a post-up play, regardless if it's a wide open three, what ends up happening is that players become so dependent on someone that they end up becoming themselves dependent on, not just dependent on the player, but maybe to a degree, Rodney Hood, maybe even if you want to make an argument that he wasn't that great in Utah, and when he comes to the Cavs, and it obviously starts to show how poor of a defender or how inconsistent of a shooter he is. However, there are still ways that you can get Rodney Hood active in the game and more aggressive instead of just staying over in the corner and just get a ball, get a open three, or from some time try to create at the last minute when there's only 3 to 5 seconds left on the shot clock from a penetration. Like, to me, that doesn't, and that's also a bigger problem where I don't necessarily know where LeBron is going to go moving forward, because if that's the way that the offense has been constructed for practically his entire career, I don't necessarily know how he's going to fit on the team and how they're going to reevaluate their offense.
So we'll get into this a little bit later, but everybody's saying,
before you keep on, I do want to say this. And again, this is where we have to be consistent, because Kobe was on teams. And I know people act like Kobe was just on his super team in his second, three, when he went to the championship 3 years in a row and won back-to-back championship. He was not on the super team. He was not on a team where it was a plethora of stars. Quite frankly, it was just him and Powell. And even when they got Powell, even though Powell was obviously way better than Kwame Brown, it's not like Powell had done anything.
He was like 82 overall. Like, he wasn't.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't like Powell had done anything in Minnesota, I mean, with the Memphis Grizzlies, that had separated himself significantly from the pack of other power forwards that were obviously below Garnett, Tim Duncan, and Dirk. So it's not like even when he got Powell, that Powell was even that great of a player. And a lot of people thought Powell was putting up empty stats to begin with also. But when you consider that Bynum was consistently hurt, and Trevor Reza was in and out in 08 and 09, and he was dealing with, Derek Fisher was like 35 years old at the time as well. And then basically the rest of his lineup were full of players that were journeymen who, after they left the Lakers, are out of the NBA in 2 to 3 years. Right. However, they all looked really good with the Lakers. Again, you can make an argument that some of that has to do with Phil Jackson and the triangle offense and how player movement was utilized for all the players to not just get good looks for themselves, but also to be manipulating the defense in multiple ways so we can get good looks for everyone else as well. And so you can definitely make that argument. And I think it's a valid argument. However, in the same sense though, part of the reason why LeBron is so great, or at least the argument that many people use, is because of his stats and the numbers that he posts up. LeBron cannot put up those stats if he's on a team that utilizes offense such as the triangle offense or Popovich's ran offense. Yeah, an actual offense. He will never put up those numbers because that's just how it won't function that way, because the offense doesn't function by being heavily dependent on one player. That's how actual offenses work. I don't necessarily know how you want to cut it or slice it. I'm not necessarily putting all the onus and blame on LeBron. But all I'm saying is, I don't think it's a coincidence that players go with the Cavs or go wherever LeBron is going and they become worse players or they just perform poorly. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think that's a consistent theme that we've seen throughout LeBron's career. And there's an answer to it that people may not want to recognize.
So, yeah, there's a trend of players going to a LeBron team and then performing way below. And it'd be neat if we got, like, some statistician in the NBA to go into and just see just across the board what the statistical analysis is looking like, how much percentage is dropping, field goal percentage, or even just attempts and points and rebounds and all of that once they start to play with LeBron. But I don't think it has to do with the player in this instance, Lo. I think LeBron does require, and he has required, an offense that's centered around him his entire career. But when you credit Kobe, I get that, like, it's interesting to have a triangle offense with a magnet as fantastic as Michael Jordan, or even in the 2000s, Kobe Bryant. But what we've seen is, like the Shannon Browns of the world, like, people thought DJ Mbenga was nice at one point, right? Like, Bynum turned into an all-star, went to the 76ers, and screwed those guys over. There's plenty of cases of people coming to play with Kobe, and then they almost, like, inflate their value, and then they go off to other teams. We realize they're not really worth much. I don't think that's credit to Kobe, though. I think that's credit to the system. And I don't think what's wrong with the Cavaliers is LeBron. I think it's the system. And I think a player as good as LeBron, like KD has proved when he went to Golden State, can find a way to morph and adapt to any system he'd like. So in the past, it was everybody adapting to the way LeBron wanted to play. LeBron goes to Miami. Chris Bosh is now a corner three-point shooter with Hall of Fame corner specialist. And Dwayne Wade took a backseat. He wasn't handling the ball as much. He didn't have that much of a load offensively. And of course, he hasn't been the greatest defender. So he's like the second role. He took the second guy on the team. And Chris Bosh took the third guy on the team. I'm telling you guys right now, if LeBron has any aspirations to go into a championship contender like the Houston Rockets, you cannot have the mindset that he has right now, where everything is going to run through him, especially on a team where we have James Harden got the green light. He's going to be chucking up shots no matter what. And then on top of that, we have scorers like Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson. You need to rely on these guys to make consistent shots. The only way you can do that is by giving them the confidence of a green light. You have a shot, you take the shot. And almost like it kind of reminds me of Chino Hills, the way they run, because they don't think about shots after they shot it. They don't, maybe I shouldn't have taken it. They just take shots. And then they go back on defense, they take more shots, go back on defense. Some nights it hits, some nights it doesn't. But I think Houston proved to us that their system works, and I think the Cavaliers proved to us that their system doesn't. So again, I think it comes back to the system, Lo. You can make the same case for Russell Westbrook, the system they run in OKC. A lot of players go there, and we've seen some players shine and take steps in the right direction, like Steven Adams. But we've seen plenty of players go to the Thunder and then leave the Thunder and have a much better time. Maybe they just fit better with a different team. I agree with Kobe on that part. We shouldn't need to trash LeBron's teammates just so we can seriously and sincerely appreciate how fantastic of a run he had. And Lo was right. If any player was put in the position that LeBron was put in, and when I say any player, I'm talking about the Durants of the world. I'm talking about, we've seen Russell Westbrook do it last year. If you put a player in a position where the whole offense runs around them and Russell Westbrook can steal rebounds from bigs and is perfectly fine, and you have the green light of James Harden, you could just chuck up shots whenever you want, you're going to average a lot of points. You're going to average a lot of rebounds. Your usage rate is going to be sky high and your numbers are going to look great. But by no means does that mean you are a better player now than the system players that work with and within a good offense, like the Kyrie Irvings, like the Kawhi Leonards, like the Kevin Durants and the Stephen Currys. That's at least how I feel. I wish more coaches would do that. I wish they would actually create a system in which the players can have actual ball movement. Like they're moving off ball. Like when sometimes you watch the Cavaliers, it's just stale. It almost reminds me of the Houston. They just walk up the court and then they just really hope they can hit some shots. They hope they have enough talented pieces so that they don't have to worry about running actual offense and they could just out-talent the other team. And that usually doesn't work. Usually. But it's frustrating to hear, Lo. The amount of Michael Jordan versus LeBron arguments I've been hearing, I'm just so sick of it from both sides. And it's why we know we shouldn't be comparing these two eras that heavily. There's so much inconsistencies and differences across eras. What are you trying to accomplish when you shit on LeBron's teammates? And this isn't necessarily LeBron fans. This is low the next tier. We call these guys bronsexuals. And I've been
That's another thing too. I'm going to go on a rant as well about this, but I do want to be very clear on this. It's not really just LeBron fans, right? Cause it's, there are actual fans of LeBron who understand basketball and who know what they're talking about, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
But it's the fans that just take it another step that is just so, like, I'm looking at a tweet right now and it's irritating the fuck out of me because everything about the tweet is completely wrong.
So but just go ahead, go. Let's make that differentiation. I see a lot of LeBron fans. They love LeBron. They want LeBron to succeed, get your championships. They watch all his games. Cool. Fans of people all over. But the bronsexuals are a different breed. Now, there's probably a few bronsexuals watching this right, listening to this podcast right now, Lo. These are the guys who, regardless of any evidence, regardless of any sort of statistical analysis proving otherwise, will always do whatever it takes, whether that means shit on teammates of LeBron, whether that means skew the truth, whether that means sometimes just spitting out straight out lies about other players, just so they can propel LeBron James to this new height. And he's the GOAT. And it's fine if you think he's the greatest of all time. I think he's put together a resume good enough where we can start having an argument. But we get to a level where they don't even care about logic. They don't care about evidence. They just want you to know that their belief is true. And that regardless of what you say to prove otherwise, they are so entrenched in their own mind, their thoughts, and their beliefs. They are so toxic, and that's probably the most frustrating part, is they don't let anybody have an opinion but people that agree with them. And these guys, Lo, they're all over the internet now, and they're spawning like wildfire. And it's driving me crazy, because I can't just scroll my Twitter timeline no more, Lo, without seeing one of these bronsexuals having some sort of argument, just all these slurs, and this player's trash, and if you think this player is good, then just kill yourself. That's the type of rhetoric I'm seeing. I can't even have a peaceful scroll across my timeline no more. And I get it. You're a huge fan of the guy. All right. I was a huge fan of Kobe, but there's limits. All right. You got to reach a limit where you don't go any further and the toxicity stops. And I'm seeing it more and more, Lo. It's driving me up the wall, man. I'm muting conversations at this point of people who are just having these arguments, man. It's driving me insane.
And also saying that, I also want to, I want to kind of transition to the whole, I mean, unless you want to talk about the
broken hand thing. Some of these bronsexuals are on TV. Isn't that crazy, Lo?
Yeah, I know, which is crazy. Because Brian Windhorst is definitely getting on my nerves as well. But are you going to talk about the broken hand thing as well?
Into that. It was one of the quote unquote excuses used. We'll let you start it off, Lo.
Look, I, Because, well, this tweet is like really just irritating the hell out of me.
But, should you read it? I wanna let's irritate everybody listening, man.
No, it's not like something you just had to kind of look at it, but it's like, somebody, I don't know, he's verified, but he tweeted out, competitive balance is dead, and it died on July 4th, 2016. Is this good for anyone other than the Warriors and their fans? The league I loved the most sucks. League I love the most sucks right now. Absolutely sucks. So he basically just talking about competitive balance, right?
So that's so, interesting.
Somebody, this is the part that really just irritates me. Someone replied with that and it says the list of NBA teams that won the NBA finals in the last 20 years. And so he's running off the
teams. So it's like the Spurs, six teams that won.
Spurs, Lakers, whatever, right? So then, but then he gets to the 2000s where, late 2010s and where we at right now where, LeBron and the Cavs and they won their, championships, right? So right. It reads off Celtics, Lakers, Mavs, right? Mm-hmm. Then it says Braun, Spurs, Warriors, Braun, Warriors. This is the shit that shit pisses me off because A, you just sat there and just gave me a list of 17 teams, but then you're quick to say LeBron instead of the actual team that he was on. Mind you, the three times that he won, he went to the teams because of the talent that was on the roster, not because he thought it was just going to be he himself on the team because he got tired of doing that. And the problem that frustrates me with this, and he also ends it with saying competitive balance never existed, which is also a fucking lie. But the whole idea that, and going back to the whole LeBron and MJ thing, and this is the reason why it's so hard for me to fully embrace LeBron the way that I want to, because there's idiots on the internet that makes it hard for people to do so. But you cannot sit here, spend the last 2 years belittling Michael Jordan and over embellishing the teammates that he had on his team, and then sit there and tell me that winning championships is a team accomplishment. But then when it comes to LeBron's his team accomplishments, it's nothing but LeBron. When LeBron makes it to the finals every year, it's not LeBron made it to the finals. It's the Cavs or the Heat who made it to the finals. Because nowhere near on Kevin Love's resume will it say that he made the finals three consecutive years. Nowhere on Kyrie's resume will it say he made it to the finals three consecutive years. Nowhere on Wade's or Bosh's resume will it say that they made it to the finals four consecutive years. It will not be on their resumes. It won't be. It's only on LeBron's resume, and we all understand why that is, because for whatever reason, they have to pull at straws to elevate a player who honestly is already great. I don't understand why we have to do this. But for the second part.
Cause as the greatest he is, they want him to be the greatest.
And so I get that too, but that, if you believe belittling everybody else to elevate somebody else is the best way for you to make an argument that they're the greatest, you are incorrect. If you have to do all of that to try to prove that someone is that great, then you need to stop making your argument and you end up making the other person sound worse. But then going to the, you end up making LeBron look worse. But then going to the broken hand, thing. Look, I'm not going to sit here and act like I know LeBron had a broken hand or not, but it's just really convenient after he got swept that he's wearing a cast now. I don't understand how that's possible. And then he said that he, even though despite the fact he had a broken hand, that he was trying to be strategic and keep it away from the Warriors and not having them knowing about it. But I don't necessarily know how, I don't want to say how broken it is, but I guess that's the terminology. I don't know how broken it is for it not to be broke enough for you not to wear a cast out in public. For you to strategically believe that it's best
that part,
not to
I
keep it away from
Lo, because even we didn't hear about Kobe's injuries, like players like Peyton Manning, all the time.
I know, not a broken hand.
What do you mean by that?
When something is broken, it's not like I don't know how detailed this fracture is. I don't know if it's just like a little small fracture or whatever. But if you have something that's broken, I don't necessarily know how you're throwing it off the backboard, and he threw a lob to himself in game three with a broken hand. Like, I don't necessarily know how severe that is, but really what I want to say is this. Okay, again, like, and you point out the Kobe thing. If it's broken, fine. It was broken. He still played great with a broken hand, and that's more praise and kudos to LeBron. But I don't want to hear these excuses, especially right after the game, when I didn't hear this for anybody else. Curry was hurt in 2016. We all knew that Curry was hurt in 2016.
Curry was hurt this year too, by the way.
And he never... I know, but what I'm saying is we still killed him in 2016, despite the fact that they couldn't win one. He couldn't win one game in the finals, and we all knew that he was hurt. We knew it. Kobe was hurt in 2010. He had a broken finger, and then come to find out years later, like you said, he didn't really tell nobody, even though there were people in the media who knew about it, because I did go back and do my due diligence, and I found out that, I think it was Dave McMillan, somebody in ESPN, they actually wrote an article about it in the beginning of the postseason, not just the finals, in the beginning of the postseason, Kobe had bone spurs. I didn't even know this, though.
But Kobe talked about it with Shaq, right, at one point?
I know, but he made it seem like it was only bone spurs in the finals. Come to find out, it was something that he was dealing with the entire postseason, right?
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is that people don't go back in Kobe's career and justify him shooting poorly in a series that he ended up winning. He won the finals, and people still harshly criticize Kobe for his efficiency. No one doesn't go back, and I'm a Kobe fan, and even I don't do this. I do not sit here and tell people, but Kobe had a broken finger, and Kobe had bone spurs. I don't do that because he still won the series, and I've never felt like it was necessary for anybody to do that anyway, because you don't know what anybody is dealing with. There could be multiple injuries across the board. You just take it how it is, and you just try to win the game regardless. Mind you, Kobe was still going up against a ridiculous team with the amount of talent that they had on their roster, and he still had to figure out a way to win. So,
I don't think that's LeBron, though. I think
it's not LeBron. All I'm saying is, I don't think he should have mentioned it.
Because now, not the fans, the LeBron sexuals who are addictively obsessed with just putting him on this pedestal are going to use it as their excuse, as their asterisk. Kind of like how the Golden State, I don't know, but what do we call the Golden State? Like, I don't know if they have a name, but the people that make arguments that because Draymond didn't play in game five, that's the reason they came back from 3-1, even though there was two other games and a bunch of other all-stars that could have made the difference. LeBron should have known better than to do that. And I'm sure he consulted some people too, Lo. A lot of athletes don't like to disclose of injuries because one, players might play you differently knowing you have that injury. And at one point, Lo, in game four, I don't know if this is done purposely, but he was holding his hand. Like, he was in pain. I forgot. Like, maybe the ball hit his hand or something. But he was holding his hand, and he looked away. He was looking into the crowd, and, like, maybe, like, 10 seconds later, he was all good. But you can tell maybe that there was something up. But there was also something up with Curry, who was coming back from injury. There's also something up with Klay.
That's what I'm saying. We knew. Exactly. Klay was hurt that series. Iguodala was hurt that series. Curry was hurt that series. And again, in 2016, Curry was hurt as well. In 2010, Kobe was hurt as well. You can go, Chris Paul's been hurt through multiple
postseason. And you probably will never hear Harden or Chris Paul ever in their lives.
You never hear it. That's my only problem. I'm not saying that he wasn't, I'm kind of sort of questioning it. But even if we get beyond the whole questioning the legitimacy of his injury, if we just get to the point where if we're acknowledging that he's hurt, which is the reason why he underperformed, which may justify even further. All I need everyone to do the exact same thing for everybody else throughout NBA history. That's all I need you to do. That is all I need you to do. But the problem is that no one doesn't do it. That's my problem. No one does not go through NBA history and make those excuses, and even if they're reasonable excuses, no one does not do that for anybody else. Ever. Ever.
Well, There are years
where Tim Duncan was hurt. No one doesn't talk about it. Chris Paul is always hurt. Kevin Garnett was hurt. Kobe is hurt. Shaq was hurt practically throughout the entire series. I mean, throughout the entire season. This man Pippen missed practically half of the 98 season, was hurt in the postseason, hurt in the finals, and nobody talks about it. However, they elevate Scottie Pippen as if he was putting up 30 and 10 playing next to Michael Jordan throughout the entire finals. Or on top of that, in the 96 finals, Pippen was hurt as well. And they act like Pippen was just putting up all-star and all-NBA numbers when he was playing with Jordan in the finals. He was not. He was hurt in two of the last three finals that they won. But nobody doesn't talk about it. So if you're going to do that for LeBron, which is fine. If that's what we're doing, that's fine. Do that for everybody then. Because if that's the case, then we need to start having, we need to really start rediscussing where some of these players rank all time then. That's what we really need to start doing then.
Yeah, I agree. It's it's interesting because LeBron has probably been the athlete, at least in my lifetime, I've seen blessed in terms of injuries. The guy is a behemoth. So he needs to share what he's eating, you know, his nutrition plan. He needs to share what his workout plan is looking like, because I think there's a lot to learn from LeBron. Just his ability to be so durable over the course of, and keep in mind, this is a guy who's made it to the finals so many times. He's played so many games, so many minutes, that the fact that he's not dealing with all the injuries a player like Kobe Bryant had to deal with. Kobe had to go to Germany, take a risk with his life, do a trial that wasn't even really FDA approved. It wasn't approved, nothing. It was just something that Kobe Bryant knew he had to do if he wanted to go back and play basketball. He just went out, did it, came back. There's been plenty of cases of, you don't even need me to start bringing up the Brandon Roys, Greg Odens of the world, the Grant Hills of the world. LeBron has been blessed. And so it's weird that now I'm hearing more arguments and excuses that have to do with injuries from the player I think had to deal with the least amount of injuries of most of the players in the Hall of Fame. And there's nothing on him. You can't, you see, he never had injuries. You can't knock him for that. But if you're going to use that as an excuse, you're right. You have to be fair in the way you distribute the it's like giving them a pardon. You know how like Trump is pardoning people left and right now? It's like you're trying to give LeBron this pardon. Like, it's okay that this happened, or he performed like this in this game, or this happened in that game, because of course he had the injury. And that's the pardon that they're trying to attribute to LeBron. You don't need to pardon LeBron. He played fantastic. He played great throughout the entire playoffs. In my opinion, there was some times he was lacking defensively, but he did all that he could. Right? Given his circumstances, who he was going up against, and maybe who he had on his team. You don't have to sit here and make these excuses to elevate LeBron. Everybody recognizes he is one of the greatest of all time. But the
That's another thing, too. Outside of, like, the idiots, I was not going to go on Twitter and kill LeBron for losing in four games. Like, I wasn't. I don't think anybody, and there was no logical person that was going to go out of their way and kill LeBron for losing that series.
We all knew the outcome.
That's what I'm saying. We knew the outcome. I don't know why people had to come out and immediately, like, not even the next day, not even next year, not even whenever, that LeBron decided to say so. Like, literally moments after the game, this man, Brian Windhorst, already had the script ready. And Brian Windhorst, he was there when Curry was hurt. He was there when Kobe was hurt. I did not hear anything from Brian Windhorst when that happened. And if I get enough time, I better not sit here and I find some, I don't need to find anything, but I better not sit here and I find something where Brian Windhorst is criticizing Curry and Kobe after knowing that they were hurt in the finals that they end up performing in.
I think as athletes, like, they have to take responsibility no matter how big, right? So no matter what the obstacles were, what injury they had to deal with, who they had to go up against, was it raining that day and you don't like rain? Like, it doesn't matter what they were going through during the moment. Like, you gotta correct me if I'm wrong, Lo. Was it Isaiah Thomas was it his sister who passed away, or was it a close family member? He was back the next day playing in the playoffs? Like, cause he recognizes, and not that everybody should do that cause basketball over everything, but it's a lot of these NBA players, especially the very good ones, or what we call the great ones, they take responsibility. When something goes wrong, even if it's not their fault, they're inclined to say that it's their fault. Because as a leader of their team, everything at the end of the day falls on them. And I think LeBron knows that. And I shout out to LeBron because he's conducted himself. He's never had a single scandal, unless you call it, you know, that's not a scandal. I was going to say the hairline stuff. That's just whatever. Maybe he wants to keep his brand. Set
the hairline stuff. Cut it out. Maybe he
wants to keep his brand the same. You know, who knows? It's like why James Harden never cut off the beard. It's a part of his brand at this point.
This man said hairline. Oh my God! Stop.
So we've seen a player that we can agree low is top two of all time. But the thing is that's not enough for some people. And so what's enough for them is they want him to be the undisputed greatest of all time. And the argument is being made, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that's the thing is until it becomes undisputed, they're willing to say or do anything, whether it's on TV, whether it's a written article, whether it's just a tweet or a Facebook post, whether it's a YouTube video, whatever the case is, in support of LeBron. And they will say the craziest stuff that makes no sense out of context. Or maybe sometimes no sense in context because it's that ridiculous. Just so they can further their main goal. Which, in my opinion, is like, you really have to do that, Lo? In my opinion, Lo, and this is crazy because I see a lot of like, I was going to say LeBron fans. I see a lot of Bron sexuals complaining that a lot of people hate on LeBron. And then I saw, Lo, I have to pull it up because I saw the most toxic tweet of all time, and it was rooted in actual hatred, not like jokes, not memes. It was rooted in real life hatred, like the hatred, like, you know, when someone cuts you off on the highway and you potentially spin out, like that kind of hatred you have in your heart of like, you truly, no matter what the circumstance, hate the guy that did this to you. Let me pull it up, because it was in my, okay, so this is Los, is you know Los, right? Los Polos.
Yeah, also, before we... Los was bugging that night.
The entire playoffs, he's been bugging.
Los was bugging. Can I read this, side of things, yeah, read it. Because I just wanted to say, yeah, Los was bugging. Los was outrageous.
This is what he said. And this is a guy who I've seen complain on Twitter that LeBron was being hated on. So just keep that in mind as I read this. This soulless, spineless, weak, gutless, soft, cowardly pussy Kevin Durant, who has no heart and not one competitive bone in his frail, timid body, could come out of game 4 firing up half-court shots out of his asshole for 82 points, and he would still be the biggest bitch in NBA history. Now, Lo, I came to a realization after reading this tweet. What you usually see is people frustrated in Kevin Durant for his decision. We all are, right? It sucks for the NBA, because now we have this one team so dominant, we kind of know the result. Now, I think there was parity in the Eastern Conference this year, Lo. Cavs came out on top, but there were people saying 76ers would win, people saying the Raptors would win, people saying the Celtics would win. Parity. But we knew, no matter who won in the Eastern Conference, they were getting dwarfed by the Golden State Warriors or the Houston Rockets in the Western Conference. So, that being said, here we have is Los Polos, who's previously complained that people hate on LeBron too much. I would categorize him, Lo, as a Bron sexual. Now, what this tells me is something super clear, and I tweeted this out as well, is that I don't think these Bron sexuals are mad that KD went to the Golden State Warriors. Because we're all mad about that. If you were mad about that, you would have put it away a while ago. Like, you kind of just come to terms with it at this point. I think they're mad that as long as KD stays on that team, there is no way anybody else in the NBA is winning an NBA championship. And yeah, that includes their one and only LeBron James. So that's the sad reality. Here's LeBron James trying to elevate his legacy, but he's being stumped at the door by one of the greatest teams, if not the greatest team in NBA history. And there's not much you could do about it. But the same fate that LeBron has to succumb to, my Raptors have to succumb to, your Lakers have to succumb to, there's 29 other teams in the NBA, right? And we all have come to the realization that there's this one team that is so much better than everybody else. Now, you can maybe exclude Houston Rockets given their performance in game, like throughout the playoffs and the Western Conference Finals. But it's like, man, yo, we get it. We're all frustrated KD made that decision. It sucks. Because now we know who's going to win. And I put out this tweet. I said, Golden State's going to win this year. They're going to win next. Probably next. And likely the year after that, too. As long as Klay stays on the team this year, I don't see how anything changes. I don't know what the Houston Rockets can add to their team to improve, right?
And we need to talk about that when you get done with this as well.
Okay, so I'm pretty much done with it, but I did want to say that because it was an interesting realization I came to. It had nothing to do with KD going to Golden State. It just had to do with they need more evidence. They need more fuel so they can elevate LeBron to GOAT status and make that undisputed. And I don't think they're going to rest till it's undisputed, but it just sucks to see this come across my timeline. God damn, like, listen, man, I'm frustrated with KD, but I don't ever feel that. This is pure hatred, Lo. This comes from the bottom of your heart. You know the place, like, the place you love your family, like, no matter what happens, you're always going to... It's that place. That same place is that hatred that these people have for Kevin Durant. And, Lo, I'm going to say it, bro, it's not healthy, man. It can't possibly be healthy to feel that type of way about an individual. And then having to express that on a daily basis throughout the entire playoffs, I think is sad. But people love it, Lo. Like, people loved it. The other, like, the Bronx, they were in love with the comments. They were retweeting it and liking it. And I was like, yo, what is wrong with people, man? I get it's kind of funny. And at times, like, when the memes and the trolls are out, fine. But, yo, this is, like, this might be going overboard right here. This is OD. Coming from the guys who complain LeBron gets hated on too much. Here they are doing the hating.
And I think, the whole, I mean, because I don't, again, like Agent said, I don't like it that KD went, and we definitely need to discuss that. But I mean, I'm not going to sit here and call this man all that. That's OD. That's doing too much. That's taking to. I mean, I watch basketball and upload videos on YouTube for a living, and even I don't. Even I'm not going to do all that. Like Jesus, like calm down.
These are the adjectives he used. Soulless. Oh yeah, I saw that. Spineless, I saw that. Yeah. Weak, gutless, soft. Cowardly pussy, and then proceeded to call him a frail, timid body. It's Jesus, man.
He was creative
at least with the adjectives.
that was going way too hard. I was like, bro, calm down. Like, it's not that serious. Like, Jesus, man.
Yeah, dude, look, you think Kevin Durant murdered a family member
That's what I'm saying, man.
Jeez. Anyway, go ahead, Lo. We want to talk about the Houston Rockets, which probably stand the best chance of being the Golden State killer.
Before I get that, I do want to talk about the whole parody being ruined thing, though. Because I think what people are tending to do is they think that parody is just the outcome of the season. And that's not what parody is. Parody just means that before the season, but there's just some level of competition that is present. There seems to be some level of equality amongst, regardless if it's competition or just other aspects of life. And I know people are looking at the outcome of the seasons and saying that there isn't any parity. Again, going back to the tweet that I was referring to earlier about how the guy can just run off the last 20 years of finals appearances the last years of the seasons. I'm bugging. The last 20 years and come out what the results are. Right. And people think that's a lack of parity. However, right. if you actually know the NBA and you actually understand that even though, yes, the Spurs and the Lakers won a significant amount of, championships over the last 20 years. And even though there's not that many other teams outside of those teams, you still understand when the Spurs won back in 98, Tim Duncan was in his second year in the NBA. David Robinson was still coming from an injury. And you still had Shaq dominating in the Western Conference. And on top of that, it was a lockout season. Basically, what I'm saying is no one didn't necessarily know that the Spurs were going to win that year. Then the next season, if you thought that the Spurs were quote unquote dominant, they lose in the very next season. The Lakers heading into the NBA into that season when they first won their three-peat, no one did not believe that the Lakers are going to win because they were getting worse. They were getting less talented, at least. They were losing players every single year because they were not winning. Mind you, Shaq had been on that team when he got to the Lakers 4 years prior to until they eventually won a championship. And it took them 7 games against a team that they were almost going to lose. And it actually took Kobe having a breakout game 7 to push them over the hump to finally get into the finals. And even if you want to say the next 2 years, which isn't necessarily true either, because after the first year, Shaq said himself that he stopped caring during the regular season. He started gaining weight. He was not the same player after that first championship. And even though Kobe was on the rise, you still had a team like the Sacramento Kings when they were healthy that they could become some form of a threat. But even if you want to say you knew for a fact that they were going to be good, after the three-peat, you thought that they were going to win, but no, the Spurs were still there. Then the next year, the Pistons win. Then the next year, it took the Pistons and Spurs 7 games to finally figure out who was going to win. Then after that, you're telling me you knew for a fact D-Wade in his third year was going to perform to a superstar level to win a championship with the Miami Heat? No, you didn't. Stop kidding yourself. And you did not know that the Dallas Mavericks were going to make it to the finals either. Stop kidding yourself, because the next year you definitely did not believe that LeBron James was going to make it to the finals in 2007. Stop lying to yourself. And in that same year, you definitely did not know that Dallas Mavericks was going to lose in the first round to basically knock themselves out of contention if you thought that the Dallas Mavericks were going to be able to make it back to the finals. Stop lying to yourself. In 2008, you might have thought that the Celtics were going to win the championship, but you did not know that the Lakers were going to make it to the finals before the season began, because Pau Gasol wasn't even on the team, and then Bynum got hurt before they even got Pau. Stop lying to yourself. The next year, you might have thought that the Lakers were going to win in 2009, but you did not know that the Orlando Magic were going to make it, because people thought that the Cavaliers or the Celtics were going to make it, even after KG got there. So stop lying to yourself. And then in 2010, you might have thought that both the Lakers and the Celtics were going to make it to the finals, but you did not know the outcome of that series before the series started, because it took them 7 games, and both teams were extremely talented at that point. Stop lying. And then you thought in 2011 that the Lakers were going to three-peat, but they got swept by the Mavs, because the competition between the two were not so fucking wide in talent, and the gap between the competitiveness was so wide that you knew before the series even started that they were going to win, because they ended up getting swept. And then even when LeBron and that Miami Heat with Wade and Bosch got to the NBA Finals in 2011, you definitely thought that the Mavs were going to win. So stop lying. You didn't know that. You thought that the Heat were going to win. Stop lying. You did not know that the Mavs were going to win. Then in 2012, you did not know that OKC was going to make it to the finals. James Harden and Russell Westbrook were in their like second or third year. Stop lying to yourself. You didn't know that. Because actually, is that not the year or the next season is when one of these seasons, the Lakers formed a super team, and we all thought that they were going to make it to the finals, and they didn't. 2013. They in 2013, they didn't even make it out the first round. Stop lying to yourself. You thought that the Lakers were going to make it. You didn't think the Spurs were going to make it that year when they win it. And then even if you thought that the Spurs were going to make it the second year round, you thought that the Miami Heat were probably going to win, because the Spurs at that point added another year to their careers. And goddamn Tim Duncan and at that time, I didn't even know how old this man Manu was. Manu was like 35. Tim Duncan was like 38. And on top of that, you did not know Kawhi Leonard was going to be that great, because Kawhi Leonard, when they went to the finals, was in his second and third year in the NBA. Stop lying to yourself. When the Warriors won in 2015, you did not know that the Warriors were going to win, because no one didn't even know who the Warriors were at that time. And Draymond was coming off the bench and was forced into the starting lineup. You did not know who Draymond was at that time. Stop lying to yourself. Then you thought the Warriors were going to repeat, because they won 73-9, barely got out of the conference finals, and then lost in the NBA finals after blowing a 3-1 lead. Stop lying to yourself. The only two times you knew for a fact, the two teams that were going to make it to the finals and the winner was the last two teams in the last 20 years. Stop lying to yourself. You did not know all those teams. You didn't know both of the teams that were going to make it, and you didn't know the outcome. Stop lying.
And ladies, maybe, and gentlemen,
maybe next year you may not know who's going to come out the East, and maybe next year after that you may not know who's going to come out the East, but if the Golden State Warriors keep intact, bro, they're winning the next two championships as well. So stop. And I noticed in 2018, because even if LeBron goes to the Houston Rockets, they would have to gut their roster so much that it would literally just be LeBron, James Harden, Chris Paul, and maybe Clint Capella if they decide to go over the cap that much money. But even then, I would still have the Warriors, because I highly doubt that Chris Paul is going to stay healthy throughout the entire postseason run. So stop lying to yourself. This is the first time in NBA history that you knew from the beginning of the season which teams were going to make it to the finals and the outcome.
You can make a case when Bill Russell played.
Maybe outside of Bill Russell, excluding Bill Russell, obviously. Yeah. So stop acting like parody didn't exist. Stop.
We just witnessed the greatest rant of all time. We're gonna transcribe that rant, turn it into a poem. We're gonna title it "Stop Lying to Yourself." That's gonna be on Amazon.
Stop lying. And even for the younger audience out there, and I'm not gonna go too long, but for the younger audience out there who think that, oh well, in the 90s it was nothing but Michael and Hakeem who won championships, bruh. And like I just told you, in 96 and in 98, Pippen was hurt. It wasn't like it was a clear-cut answer. Almost every series Michael won and went to, when it went to game six, one or two of those games were decided by 2 to 3 points. It was not no clear-cut Michael was going to win. And in the beginning of their three-peat, it was not clear that Michael was going to go to the finals. And on top of that, it wasn't clear that they were even going to win the finals. It was still a stigma on Michael Jordan's career that he was just a scoring guard that was dominating the ball that really couldn't win. So much so that Michael Jordan thought about joining the New York Knicks if they were not able to win in 1990 or 91, one of the two. Stop lying. That's not how it went. You thought that Hakeem Olajuwon and the Houston Rockets, when they were like the 5th or 6th seed, were going to make it to the finals and win? You thought Penny and Shaq, when Penny was in his second year in the NBA, you knew for a fact that he was going to be good enough to make it to the finals? Stop. Stop.
Can we just let that... Can we get some dead air? Just as a form of contrast to what was the greatest artistic rant of all time. Lowe... That right there was fantastic, my guy. I think we've been blessed to have heard it, honestly. I'm serious about transcribing it, turning it into a poem. We're going to sell paperback copies and hardcover copies on Amazon. Try and get that to number one. So, are you done, though? I feel like you still have more in you.
No, I mean, I'm done with that. Because the whole argument about like how parody has never really existed in the NBA, bro. Like, stop with that. Like, every year in Kobe Bryant's career, in Tim Duncan's career, and Garnett, Steve Nash, how many times Steve Nash was the number one seed and made it to the conference finals and still lost? You're telling me that there was never a moment in Steve Nash's career where you thought that Steve Nash had a legitimate chance of making the finals? Cut it out. Cut it out. Stop. Please stop.
Can you say your catchphrase real quick so we can end on that note?
Stop lying to yourself. Stop lying. Just stop lying, bro. That's dead. All right. But moving on to the Houston thing. LeBron going to Houston.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to tell y'all, like I kind of said it earlier, but there's really no way for LeBron to go to Houston and they keep intact all their pieces. They would have to lose either Capella. They would have to lose two out of these three players. And even if they keep one of them, they would have to go significantly over the cap. Capella, Ryan Anderson, or Eric Gordon. And more likely, they're going to lose Trevor Reeves as well. But even if they keep a lot of those pieces, they will be so over the cap that if they don't win it next year, then they will be through, because I really don't think that Chris Paul is going to stay healthy enough, long enough, for them to have multiple cracks at beating the Warriors. So I don't see how that's going to work out.
So after this, so I'm trying to look at the contract. So you're right. The situation would have to have LeBron sign before they re-sign anybody else. And then that would mean that the players that wait on re-signing would potentially be like missing out on a bag. Because on the off chance Houston goes in another direction or whatever, the longer you wait in free agency to get signed, the less cap space, the less money teams have to offer you, because they've already spent it all on other players, or they're saving it for future years, whatever the case. So you're right. For them to have picked, first of all, you have to think about it. It doesn't make sense for them to pick up LeBron. LeBron, again, was a player we were talking about earlier that requires the offense to focus around him. I do think LeBron is a great enough player that he can play, I don't want to say a secondary role, but he can play within a system that doesn't require him to be the focal point at all times. Like, there's times where Chris Paul is balling and he's getting the shots and he's running the offense, he's in the timeouts and he's calling the plays. There's times where James Harden's on fire and he's doing the step backs, he's shooting in your eye and he's running the court. So if LeBron isn't willing to play like that and at times concede, is it authority, leadership, just being the focus of the offense, then it's not going to work out. That on top of the fact that, the Houston Rockets run an incredibly thin lineup, especially deep in the playoffs. There was literally throughout most of the playoffs, they ran 7 players. And of those 7 players, you're going to be playing heavy minutes. And unlike any other team in the NBA, The Houston Rockets almost seem to be taking a very opposite approach of most teams. Most teams are trying to create more assists, more ball movement, right? They're trying to get people open through the ball, the creating open pass, whatever the case. Houston Rockets are running ISO, ISO, ISO. Eric Gordon, ISO. Chris Paul, ISO. James Harden, ISO. They run some pick and roll, occasionally throw up a oop to Capella or kick it to the corner to Trevor Ariza, but then it's straight back to ISOs, ISOs, ISOs. In that respect, I think, Lo, that LeBron would fit on that team. And I think that when you have a team that runs the way that Houston runs, you can benefit from having incredibly talented players like James Harden, Chris Paul. You could benefit from having incredibly talented shooters like Ryan Anderson, who didn't even get a chance to play much in the playoffs, Eric Gordon, Trevor Ariza, and you could definitely benefit from having a player as all-around talented as LeBron James. You just have to think, like when Lo mentioned, you're going to be losing some pretty big pieces to pick up LeBron James. And so when you do pick him up, if you don't re-sign Capella, do we have Zauki playing more minutes? Are you going to stretch and put Ryan Anderson at the five? But what does that mean for your team defensively? Because the reason Ryan Anderson wasn't playing in the playoffs was because he's a bad defender, and that you would have a player that could always get beat defensively. And when we're playing in a league, like when you think of teams like the Cavaliers or especially teams like the Boston Celtics, it's like you have to have five defenders across the board. And anytime you have a player on your team that isn't a good defender, they better have a good reason or they better be able to compensate. Like the Stephen Currys of the world. Like, who's another good example of a player that is incredibly horrible in one aspect of their game? I'm trying to think Stephen Curry's the best example.
I mean, Curry's a, any rim protecting, rim running big man. Yeah. Like Rudy Gobert, he's not like a great offensive like scorer or anything like that. But because he's such a great defensive player, then you willing to overlook his flaws.
So you brought up Ryan Anderson's not going anywhere. He's getting paid $20 million next year, and no one is going to want.
And let me break down the contracts to everybody as well, because I don't even think you fully grasp how unrealistic this is. It's possible. I don't want to make it seem like it's impossible, but. Even if, and this is excluding Trevor Ariza and Joe Johnson, Clint Capella, but even before they signed Chris Paul, even.
Is Chris Paul on bird rights, by the way?
Yes, he would have bird rights, yes. Because he was traded.
So they'll be good on Chris Paul if he wants to resign.
I get that part. But what I'm saying is, with only seven players, like you said, Zach Q, some other miscellaneous person, I don't know, Nene, PJ Tucker, Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson, and James Harden, only seven players, they already have $80 million committed next season. Already. So that already automatically exempts them from giving LeBron the max contract, which I think for him would be $30 million. So they can't even do that. So LeBron off-rip would have to be taking a pay cut. Just so he can squeeze on the roster. Then on top of that, they would have to go over the cap with bird rights to bring back Chris Paul, Trevor Ariza, and Clint Capella. Just to keep everybody. We're talking about if LeBron were to take a $10 million pay cut and only getting paid $20 million. That, and they would be, that at that point, they would be at $100 million. Just to turn around and give, let's say Chris Paul received $20 million as well. Trevor Ariza receives $7 million, and Clint Capella, I think they'll be forced to give him max because there'll be a lot of people who'll be willing also, to give him the max.
Also,
as well.
Just to add in, the projected cap is around $101 million, and the tax comes in at $123 million next year projected.
They'll be well over the tax after Chris Paul. After Chris Paul alone, they'll be over the tax. So but I'm saying
people are saying they might be able to re-sign LeBron. And then re-sign all the guys on bird rights.
What I'm saying is, when they sign LeBron to a discount, it would be at the cap, $100 million, if he takes just a $20 million deal.
So the only one realistic way, Lo, to cut you off, is one, if they can find a miraculous way to give up Ryan Anderson without giving up pieces. Because when you give away Ryan Anderson, it has to come with picks and or potential players.
It would be a sign and trade. I agree with you. It's a sign and trade.
Or two is if James Harden allows you to restructure his contract so he can take less money.
What the hell? That's not even realistic. Don't even bring that up. James Harden just restructured his just so he can make more money. He's not about to restructure it. No.
This is the only two ways. Ryan Anderson has to find a way off. If you could save the $20 million off Ryan Anderson, Lo, you can make it work where LeBron comes here.
And so
definitely wouldn't be paid max. But keep in mind, like, anytime you have a player like Andrea Bargnani when he was on the Raptors and traded to the Knicks, when you have a player like Omer Asik when he was on the Pelicans, a player that's difficult to move, you're going to have to give up something important to go with him to convince the team to take a salary that massive, especially when the player isn't young and doesn't have potential. Like, Allen Crabbe, they were able, Trailblazers were able to move Allen Crabbe, but he's a young player and maybe had some potential, some room for growth, a high ceiling. So they were able to sell it to them, maybe make something work. Then the Nets didn't really have any young pieces, so they bid on it. But there isn't, who's taken Ryan Anderson? They've been trying to get rid of him for the last 2 years. He's a great player, and I think he works in that system, but his defense, he's a defensive liability. And so when you're going up against teams like the Golden State Warriors in the Western Conference Finals, you can't have a guy that is a bad defender on your team. And if you do, his name has to be James Harden. Can't have two of them, right? And at that point, like, how you compensate for two people who can't defend? Clint Capella, Trevor Ariza, great defenders. Chris Paul, great defender, but they can only do so much. At a certain point, you have to rely on those two defensive liabilities to make the proper rotations and plays defensively. And I think, Low, they're in a sweet spot. The Houston Rockets have figured out a way, Low, to have this offense that, although inconsistent, works at a very high pace. On top of that, Low, this year they figured out how they can defend. And we've seen the Houston Rockets turn from a bad defensive team into a good defensive team. And so I don't even think they need LeBron. I just think they need to be healthy. If they had Chris Paul in Game 7, it would be a different story. That's the problem
is that Chris Paul is rarely healthy.
But you can make the same case about, I mean, Klay Thompson was injured. Curry was re-injured this year. Curry's had back-to-back injuries in the playoffs now. And you don't see those players as rarely ever healthy.
I'm going to keep it a buck with you. Even if they bring that team back, and even if Chris Paul is healthy, I still don't think they'll beat the Warriors. I think the Warriors, given another year with them, will eventually just find a way to kind of get everything going and make sure that they don't fall victim to the same ways. Because the problem with them, you're taking
LeBron, who's on a team.
If LeBron joins, yes. But going back to what you were saying, what would you have to give up to get rid of Ryan Anderson? It would probably have to be Eric Gordon. That would have to be the other piece. Because
you can't, bro. Collectively, that's like $33 million, my guy.
I get what you're saying, but if you give LeBron the max, which would be $30+ million, the Cavs will be able to move LeBron there to receive the $30+ million from them as well. But the problem with that is, if you're the Cavs, why would you want Ryan Anderson? But if you have Kevin Love, you're basically just bringing in a worse Kevin Love. That's basically what you're bringing in. Why would you want to have that level of redundancy?
I think Ryan Anderson's a better 3-point shooter.
But he's still a worse player, though.
Do you know if the Rockets use their amnesty clause? Because that'd be their only way out.
Oh, you're really going hard.
Because the only way you can, so if, for those who don't know, when they restructured the CBA in 2010, they gave every team one amnesty clause they can use, basically to nullify anybody's contract. You still have to pay the guy, it just doesn't count on your cap. So most teams used it already, given the fact that it was given out in 2010, and it lasted 10 years until 2020. So that'd probably be the only way to finesse out of the situation. I don't know if they can, but they can also apply a stretch provision on a player like Ryan Anderson. Just to think about, though, $20 million over 3 years, that's $60 million. If you're going to stretch $60 million across seven or eight years...
It's not $60 million, it'd be $41 million because they would have to buy out his entire contract. He's still on the books even the next season with $21
million. But I'm counting this year's contract. Well, I shouldn't, right? I should count the next 2 years. So you're right. $40 million over like 6 or 7 years... Basically the same
reason. That's OD. That's crazy.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to. I don't think you'd want to like restrict yourself. There'd be limited flexibility moving forward, and that's without a guarantee that LeBron even signs, right?
Exactly.
And so imagine you make a move like that to create space for LeBron, and LeBron hears Magic Johnson say a couple things he really liked, and then he moved to LA, or he heard, you know, this Greg Pop, you know, he really liked what he had. So you never want to take a risk like that, I don't think. And honestly, I don't think they need. I disagree with you on that, Lo. I think the Rockets can beat the Warriors. I just think they need to be healthy to do it. Keep in mind, though, they didn't even shoot well throughout the playoffs.
With With LeBron, or are you talking about the team that they have?
No, the team they have right now, I think can beat the Warriors.
Nope, they will not.
Maybe. Well, whether they will or they won't is one thing, but they could do it.
They won't be able to do it. Chris Paul will get hurt, and James Harden unfortunately doesn't. He's not consistent enough.
How could you say that, bro?
He gets hurt every year. Every year, agent.
And so has Stephen Curry, man. For the last three playoffs, he got hurt.
Curry now has Kevin Durant on his team. He can get hurt. You can say
the same thing about Chris Paul. He now has James Harden on his team.
And you think James Harden is on the same level as Kevin Durant?
I think he's the next best thing.
No, Anthony Davis will probably be the next best thing. Look, all I'm saying is that...
You're right.
Exactly. All I'm saying is... And going back to what you said about the... they shot poorly from behind the arc in the playoffs.
Horrible.
So did the Warriors. I don't think people thoroughly understand. Like, if you go look at playoff numbers leading up until that Houston Rockets series, the Warriors were not shooting good in the first two rounds of the playoffs this year. So it's not like even they were shooting that great. The Warriors in the second round against the Pelicans shot 32% from behind the arc that series, and then against the San Antonio Spurs, they shot 33% from behind the arc. That's not good in today's league. So yeah. they really weren't shooting that well either. And quite frankly, if you exclude, and I know this is a bad argument, but really leading up into game 6 and 7, the Warriors weren't shooting that well in that series either. In the Rockets series. So even with the Warriors underperforming, I just don't think next year that they're going to be suffering from injuries so much so that, especially even with Iguodala possibly being back, which I don't really think Iguodala will have that much of an impact next year as he gets older, but I just don't see, especially because the way that the Houston Rockets run their offense, it's so predictable that eventually Steve Kerr will find a way to defend it, even with the players that they have on the floor, which, again, with Curry and playing players such as Nick Young.
I think you're missing the point, man. I think the reason they even made it to Game 7 and almost won, they were leading at half, was not their offense, but their defense. They figured Golden State out. So you're saying that you think Steve Kerr will figure out Houston. But Houston figured out Golden State. They had those guys looking like we're looking at all-time players. Some of the greatest shooters in NBA history.
Let me ask you this. So if Trevor Ariza leaves, which he's alluded to leaving, and actually joining the Warriors, if PJ Tucker leaves, which he hasn't alluded to it, but he definitely hasn't said for a fact he's going to stay, if they don't keep Luke Bamute, who they rarely played anyway.
What are you talking about, man? PJ Tucker is signed for like 5 years.
No, he's not. Let me see.
I'm looking at it right now. Remember, he left Toronto last year, and he went to Houston.
Oh, you're right. 1 year. Yeah. But Trevor Ariza has definitely alluded to leaving. And if they don't keep Luke Bamute,
I don't think that's a big loss.
You don't think Trevor Ariza is a big loss? Defensively?
Come on, man. Look, come on. You're making him out to be some sort of Klay Thompson. He's not. He's been an inconsistent shooter, especially considering how open he gets from the corner.
Defensively.
Even as a defender, I think that they can pick someone up and pay someone. Nah. How much is Trevor Ariza getting paid? Let me find it. $7 million. You could find a player that could 3-and-D in the corner.
I disagree with that. A. B. The problem with that though is that, again, you're talking about replacing Trevor Ariza when they already had him on the roster, and so they were able to go over the cap. Even if they hold off on Chris Paul, once they sign a big, whatever big free agent that is, if it's Paul George or whoever, and Paul George, I think Paul George has a better chance going to this team than LeBron does. And if that happens, then
if that happens, then
we know for a fact they're not going to win. Cause like you said, Paul George is inconsistent. But I mean, I just don't know. I just feel like next year.
They don't need Paul George. They need a corner specialist. Paul George's not going
to
sit in the corner.
And that's another thing, going back to the fit as well. I don't know if LeBron's sitting in no corner.
He's definitely not sitting in no corner.
I don't see how that's happening, because I know people are saying that when it was James Harden and Chris Paul, they kind of shared the top of the key in the wing. But eventually, if you're putting three ball handlers on the floor at the same time with one another in the way that they run offense, then yeah, there's going to be a few plays where LeBron is going to be sitting in the corner.
That's just what comes with having that much talent on the team, right?
I mean, but the Warriors' offense is more fluent and more ball movement and player movement, so you don't necessarily catch yourself standing in a corner that frequently. Just knowing the way that they run that offense, I know for a fact LeBron, Chris Paul, and James Harden, they're going to have to take turns at some point just standing in a corner, and I don't know how that's going to work out. I just don't know.
I mean, what's the alternative for LeBron? He goes to the Lakers.
Oh, I'll tell you the alternative.
It's not in the Western Conference, is it?
No, it is. It's in the Western Conference. It gives him the best chance of winning a championship. It is.
The Spurs. My name is Lowe, and I think he's going to the Spurs.
No. It is the Golden State Warriors.
Come on, man. Come on, yo.
And you think I'm playing, but.
Why would he ruin his legacy, man?
What would he be?
Would find a way to defend it.
I'm about to say, would he be ruining it, though?
They would defend it. If KD could do it, why can't LeBron do it, headass?
If you do a sign and trade with Draymond and Iguodala or Draymond and Klay Thompson, that's enough money to give not just LeBron to be on that team, but
they're not going to sign and trade to the team that keeps whooping their ass in the finals, man.
But the Cavs, if the Cavs lose LeBron, they already know for a fact.
No, you're missing the point, Lo. The whole reason LeBron wants to get championships is that he can improve his legacy. He wants to be the greatest of all time. Doesn't everyone?
And you can do that by winning championships, AJ.
No, but you will ruin your legacy if Agent, you do the
I understand,
exact thing.
I understand what you're saying. However, though, if he wants to win, I mean, literally the only thing that is stopping LeBron from going to the Warriors would be the legacy thing. However,
the only thing, Jesus, that's the biggest thing, man.
But if he wants to win, I quite frankly, I don't know of any other place that he could go to win, to be honest with you. Houston is cute, but a lot of things have to go in his favor for that to happen. Then you have the Sixers. That seems interesting. But nah. a few things have to go in his favor as well. They could add him to the team.
Can you imagine? If LeBron went to the 76ers and then he just ran his little everything works around me offense, and then now you have Ben Simmons sitting in the corner, can't shoot a fucking three ball.
The fans would be like,
Ben Simmons is ass. He just had one good season. Then they would start to take down the whole team. Joel Embiid is trash. He doesn't care about basketball. He's eating hamburgers on the sideline before the game. They would tear down the whole team before they even begin to place some responsibility on LeBron.
Which is the reason why even if he goes to the 76ers, I don't think he's going to win because Ben Simmons is that bad of a shooter. He is that bad of a shooter.
You'd have to go to the Celtics, which would be weird because Kyrie left him
to go to the Celtics. Exactly. Is he going to, and if he goes to the Celtics, it would still have to be a sign and trade though. They would still have to do a sign and trade.
So, the only reasonable person they could trade for is Hayward, but I don't even know why the Cavaliers would agree to that.
Exactly. Unless they throw in a pick, which could be possible as well. But then you risk the chance of Kyrie leaving, which I don't necessarily know if they want to do that.
You would piss off Kyrie.
Yeah, he'd be pissed off. He'd be pissed off.
Lo, do you remember all the rumors and the scratching and clawing he had through to get out of Cleveland? He got out. He's like, look at this team I have. And unfortunately gets injured, but they make a fantastic run against the guy they almost beat in game 7. And then the guy shows up on your team again. If you're Kyrie, you're thinking to yourself, listen, man, here we are on this team where we love to move the ball around. We have players like Al Horford and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Oh my God, so much potential. Then we have LeBron come in like, listen, I know y'all have a lot of potential and everything. I know y'all looking to grow. But I might be the greatest of all time, so I'm going to just need y'all to sit in the corner real quick and kick it to me, set a couple off-ball screens, do your thing, but just don't mess with what I have. When I kick it to you, I have Hall of Fame Dimer, just hit the shot. See, that's the kind of thing I think. I don't even think he would work in a Brad Stevens offense. I mean, he might. He's LeBron. So, I just haven't seen him work in an offense like that.
All you're saying is go to the Warriors. That's what I keep hearing.
I said, no, Houston, man.
No. Let's be honest. It's the Warriors, agent.
Honestly, if he leaves Cleveland, let's just point out the obvious. People are going to be pissed off. The reason he went back there is he wanted to bring the city to Cleveland.
But he won them a ring. They should be fine.
But it's still like he's abandoned. I mean, some people are going to be like, hey, at least you guys are champions. Well,
the people who feel like he's failing them or whatever they feel, they can definitely eat a dick. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. He brought a championship to a team that was trash. I mean, let's just be honest.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is when and if LeBron leaves, Cleveland's going to be going back to being the most irrelevant team on the planet. Like, you're just going to have to join the rest of us, man, that are steady losing to the same two teams over and over and over again. Welcome to the reality. Of course, that's not going to matter to the Bronze sexuals who are going to follow him wherever he goes. Can't be mad at them. When Peyton Manning went to the Broncos, I became a Broncos fan. Sometimes you're just a fan of a player and you don't really care to be a fan of a team. See?
What is that? Anyway. Does that make you a Peyton Manning sexual? A Manning sexual?
Kind of. There was definitely times where, like, I knew Peyton Manning wasn't better than a certain player, but I'm like, man, no, fuck Tom Brady, bro. Peyton Manning's way better than, you know, I used to. So I get where they're coming from. I get the mindset. You know, we've been there, done that. I feel like eventually you have to grow up. If you're 22 years old and you're still on the internet.
That's
like,
the thing that's killing me, bro. This grown ass man. That's what's really, it's like, Jesus, man. I don't remember me going that hard even when Kobe was in the league. Cause I vividly remember me like being upset at Kobe at times. I was like, especially against that Rocket series that we almost lost. I think it was in 09. Oh, either 09 or 10. I think it was 09. I was like, bro, Kobe, if you don't cut this shit and play good, bro, I was so pissed. I was like, bro, Kobe, I know you're not about to lose to some goddamn team without T-Mac and Yao Ming. Cut it out, Kobe. You better get this shit together. But yeah, but man, LeBron fans would have been like, oh, it's Powell's fault.
Mark Jackson doesn't let Kobe do his thing. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
They just find a way. Isn't that crazy, love? People really do that on the internet, man.
I know.
You know what's funny? Like, is it Shannon Sharp, Undisputed? I always mix up his name with Shannon Brown.
Yeah, Shannon Sharp.
Yeah. I think he's entertaining to watch. And he'll come on TV with the little goat headpiece on.
He'd be going
and
it's hilarious.
But what he does, I think, is entertaining. What I see, like, the Nick Wrights of the world do, and I don't ever watch them. I only ever see clips occasionally on Twitter, and it's a stark reminder why.
Hey, yo, that's another thing. Wait, real quick, yo, for the people out there who think that I actually watch them, bro, I just be looking at the clips, bro. It's not that big of a deal, bro.
Yeah, you couldn't catch me watching them. Like, that, it just won't happen. Because you know what they're spitting is bullshit, and you just sit there. The only reason you'd watch it is if you subscribe to the bullshit. And then you're like, yeah, man, I would love to hear all the stuff that I just flows through me. All this hate and this LeBron is the greatest. Just keep it coming. Keep it coming. And even as a LeBron fan, you'd have to look at that and be like, Jesus, man. Like, remember when Kobe won, like, two straight? It was, like, 2011 or something. And Lil Wayne came out with a song called Kobe Bryant. And everybody was like, yo, Kobe's the greatest of all time. In my mind, I'm like, yo, what's happening right now? Everybody's coming together in celebration of Kobe Bryant. And it was just a really weird time. It was one of probably, I don't ever memorize songs because I feel like it takes up unnecessary brain space. But that was one song I memorized.
That might be the dumbest thing I've ever heard you say in your life.
Nah, man, because you know how it is, right? Sometimes you like you focus on the wrong things and you don't have enough time to focus on what
matters. But you know who's on every 2K cover though.
I mean, that's my job, my guy. It's very different.
Oh, that's my job.
So let me give you 2K. Was Iverson. 2K1 was Iverson. 2K3 was Iverson. 2K4 was Iverson.
Face 2K. Ass. I don't even think it was that deep, but okay.
2K5, I think, was Ben Wallace. If it wasn't Ben Wallace, it was KG.
Who cares about 2K back then? It was about live, though, as a side note, but keep going.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I definitely don't know the live covers, though, aside from the one Gilbert was on. And I think
you don't know. Too. You don't know, like, Carmelo and Wade was on, and T-Mac was on 07.
I only had, like, 3 NBA Lives, man. I didn't buy the games back then. My dad just came home with games.
Vince Carter. It was, I know for a fact, 04 was Wade. 05 was Melo. No, I take that back. 05 was Wade. 06 was Melo. 07 was T-Mac.
Gilbert.
07 was T-Mac. 07 was T-Mac.
Was it? I'm tripping. I had the PSP version of 07. I don't know if there's a different
cover. I think 2008 was
Gilbert. Whatever the case. And then NBA Live just fell off a map.
Yeah,
no, after Dwight Howard. In 2010. What a disaster. You know, they just dropped some news, though. I don't know if you caught it today. I just dropped a video on it.
I saw that video. That video was trash. That's the reason why I didn't like that video.
Head ass. Apparently, they came out with more info on their website that wasn't at the conference. about like the different archetypes and shit. So maybe it'll be nice. Who knows? But I don't know how we got to talk about NBA Live.
I don't know.
Lo, would you, if you're a premier athlete in the NBA, you're like a top 10 player, would you put your face on NBA Live?
Yeah, does it come with a check?
Let's say it comes with like a few million dollars.
Yeah, why not?
But would you rather take the chance and wait and hope you get the check from 2K for a lot more?
What does it matter? A check is a check.
Because you can't put your face on live 2 years later to put on NBA 2K.
Yeah, you can. What are you talking about?
Nah, you have to be a special kind of player for that to be allowed, my guy.
You just told me top 10. That's what you just told me.
Nah, that's not special enough. I'm talking about LeBron special. I'm talking about, you know.
Didn't Kyrie do that?
Kyrie was the face of Live 14, and then he was the face of
This year's 2K.
2K18?
Yeah, this
one. But now they have a plethora of athletes, right? So they also had Shaq on the cover of the Legends Edition. But like when you... Oh, did you know Shaq came out with a game mode? I'm going to put you on this shit, because it's almost like the most ridiculous... It's like a 2D fighter. It's like a remastered. Remember Shaq Fu when it came out in the 90s?
Yeah.
That horrible ass game. They came out with a remastered version.
That wasn't the 90s as a side note. They wasn't that far ago when he put out that trash ass game. But you know, you can be on both covers. It's not that big of a deal.
And Shaq actually did the voice acting for it. And the voice acting is horrible. Maybe because I'm so used to hearing Shaq in other places, it doesn't fit into me that he's a game character. But if you guys haven't seen Shaq Fu, just Google it or YouTube it and just watch a video. It is hilarious. You might even want to play it. I don't know how much it costs. I don't even know if it's free or whatever. But shout out to Shaq, man. He's big in comedy. He's big. Well, he has his TV show with TNT. Apparently, he has shisha bars across Atlanta, though. I just found this out recently. Now he has his own game. He's been platinum. He's went platinum in music more than once. That dude is like Magic Johnson. He's just an all-around all-star, man, on and off the court.
The fact we're talking about Shaq right now is OD. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. So you telling me James Harden can be a whatchacallit. All I know is, I would take the check. It's a check. It's money in my pocket. I really don't care.
But think about it. Think about it. You already have all the millions you can imagine. On top of the fact that, like, it's not even that crazy a check. You can put your face on a game that, like, would you put your face on NBA Live 14, Lo? For $5 million?
NBA Live 14?
Yeah.
And you mean the game that never came out?
No, Live 14 came out. It was the worst basketball game ever. Okay. You remember that game? Kyrie was on the cover of that one.
I kind of
5 million, shorter. Would you do it?
Yeah, I would. I mean, you would... 5 million, agent?
But Lo, you're not Lo right now. You're not Lo talking from the hood in Atlanta. You're Kyrie Irving.
Agent, I could be making $30 million a year and I would still take $5
million. That's... You don't care about your brand, my guy?
What is that? That doesn't do anything. It didn't do nothing to Kyrie's brand that he was on NBA Live.
Because you want
to
associate yourself with winning brands, right? Do you remember when 2K had that Park After Dark thing in 2K17 and Snoop Dogg and Future were the DJs for a couple of the events?
I've already forgotten about that as a side note.
Just to put it in perspective, like, you have events that went horribly, but you're the name behind it, the Snoop Doggs and the Futures. It's going to look bad for you and your brand, man. It's brand equity, Lo. Your brand has value. I think your brand loses value when you put your name on too many things. Anyway.
People are putting out their top 25 list, and it is trash. Oh, my God. Yes, it's trash.
Lo, you've been hiding yours, man. People trying to see what your list looks like.
Man, John Stockton should not be anywhere near somebody's top 25 list. Jesus Christ.
You got something against John Stockton, man. I've been watching more documentaries, Lo. I've been watching a bunch on Magic.
And John Stockton was trash, right? That's what you learned?
No, here's what I learned. First of all, Karl Malone is, like, something's up with that guy. We need to talk about him. Second of all,
you're right. I mean, I think we've respected his space in the NBA culture way too long. He did some fucked up shit.
I can't watch a documentary about Magic Johnson without them talking about AIDS. Listen, I know the guy has AIDS, all right, and I know he's done a lot for AIDS research. But for a second, can we just focus on his basketball? I got to skip through some of this shit, Lo, because the whole like first half of the podcast is. He got AIDS. And I'm like, yo, I get that happened, man. But could we talk about the times where he was playing real quick? They're like, nah, because he had AIDS, remember? I'm like, yo, what the fuck is wrong with these documentaries, lo? Why is he putting his name on these documentaries? No documentary. I just want to focus on his basketball acumen, what he accomplished on the court. Like, it's not that difficult. I never came across, it's so difficult to find information about him that doesn't at some point reference him having AIDS. And it's like, really? Every time we got to talk about it? Every single time. I mean, it's like if we watched the Kobe documentary, and every single time they mention, like, he got accused of rape. And it's like, yo, we understand that happened, and that impacted his career a little bit for a few years, and then we realize, like, the girl was probably lying. But, like, we don't have to talk about every doc, and they don't, right? So, anyway. Lo, I need a player I need to watch documentaries of next. So, I didn't Michael Jordan a ton. I didn't Magic Johnson a bunch. I was thinking about doing Kareem.
Somebody in the NBA community needs to put their brand to the side and make a "What if Magic Johnson never got AIDS" video.
Come on, yo.
I just want to see statistically how deep he would have gotten. Like, how where would he be statistically? I just want to know. That's what I want to know.
How'd that cross your mind, man? What's wrong with you?
Because I've definitely thought about it, and I was like, the risk isn't worth it. It's not worth it.
I mean, it's not even like it's being disrespectful.
I know, but I don't want to. I'm not going to.
Because there was some years he missed due to it, and then like you could talk about like his business life after and how that would be affected, or you could focus on like his on-court play and maybe like he missed out on some championships, or I don't know, man. I don't know.
I just want to know if somebody's going to do it. But all right,
let's end the podcast.
Is that it?
That's it, yo. Listen, man, thank you guys for listening to the podcast. I'm glad you guys are enjoying it. I'm not going to lie, bro. I enjoy listening to myself on this podcast. I ain't going to lie.
Yo, I'll be editing it, the podcast, and I catch myself listening to it. I'm like, yo, let me hurry and put this shit out real quick. I'm bugging. Let me hurry and chop this up and put it out. Yeah, I'll be bugging.
Yeah, I feel you, man. If you guys haven't already, man, drop a 5-star, a like, or on whatever platform you're watching. Hopefully, by the time next podcast comes out, we hear back from Spotify. And we could be back up on there. Because I know some people hit me up like, Agent, yo, when you can be on Spotify? Soon come. And on that note, Lo, any last words?
Nah, man. Wait.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I do want to say this. Because I definitely don't want to make it seem like, because I feel like I haven't said this yet. Congratulations to the Warriors. I don't think.
Oh, we definitely have not congratulated them.
I don't think I've done that yet. So congratulations to the Warriors.
Congratulations to Nick Young and JaVale McGee.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
To Nick Young and JaVale McGee. Jesus Christ.
All right, y'all. We'll catch y'all on the next one. Peace.
I'm not gonna go back and forth, but you know. Because you're stealing my mine now. You're stealing my swag.
Kill yourself, man.